Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony Sunday morning worship service. I'm so grateful for each of you and your presence here this morning. It's really great to see some folks I haven't seen in over a year in person, so what a joy. And from this sacred space to your sacred space, we welcome you and send the love of God to you in your sacred space, wherever you might be. Thank you for your presence today with us. We feel your love sent back to us. And blessed Mother's Day. We give thanks for the gift of all our mothers, all of us receiving the gift of life through them. Just a couple announcements. The Floral Committee is in request of new and more participants who can serve by creating beautiful displays that will minister to us visually. They're kind of a visio divina. And if you feel called, there's really no experience required, but a willingness to learn is useful. And you can just call the church office, and a volunteer from the Floral Committee will be in touch with you. As a reminder, our Yes Harmony Youth Program is resuming for sixth graders and seventh graders. They'll be meeting in the preteen classrooms, and students from eighth to 12th grade will be meeting in the young teen classroom, and they're no longer meeting online. So you can come back in person if you would wish. And we would love to welcome our youth back to the church campus. And there's a centering prayer retreat coming up on Saturday, May 22nd from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's hosted by Jim Rialli, and it's a centering prayer retreat that focuses on breath work and body work, entering into the silence by way of the body. And it's a very meaningful experience with Jim. It's entitled Creating a Relationship with Your Body and Breath. You can register on the church website for that for a nominal cost, and you could call the church office if you'd like further information. As a reminder, we will be having coffee fellowship after service in the open-air fellowship hall, and masks are not required to be worn when we're outside. So it's just a wonderful new beginning for all of us to reconnect and experience fellowship. And give thanks to the SEVA teams who are supporting the fellowship and getting things back running for all of us for Sunday morning in-person experience. Again, I'm grateful for your presence and choice to be here. And let us wish together that this service would feed us with the highest quality influences, and that we would be blessed through this service, and that through this service an energy would be created by our attention, and that energy would flow out as love to all who partake, and that this world would be fed by the quality of love we create together. May it be so. And we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent. Amen.
Please join us in acknowledging and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, Mother Mary, tender care for the earth and all upon it, we give you thanks for this day that we receive the influences that call us back to reverence for all life and the gift of life flowing through us each and every second. We do not take it for granted. We wish to use our life for the utmost goodness. We ask that you would awaken us more deeply, liberate us more completely, and saturate us thoroughly with your love, light, and life. We pray this for the sake of the kingdom of God on this earth and for our joy, and that our destiny would come to be in just the particular way you've called each of us to manifest it. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Good morning. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. Our verse, if you will be my echo, let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything is changing. God alone remains. Happy Mother's Day. It's a girl. Her name is Bunny. I'm so excited that we get to buy her clothes with flowers and strawberries and unicorns and rainbows. But what if Bunny decides she's not Bunny? What if Bunny wants to be Max? What if Bunny doesn't like butterflies and kittens and rainbows? What if Bunny likes Buzz Lightyear and Spider-Man? It's going to be tricky. We were so happy that she was a girl. But things are changing in our world. I know right now at least 5 children and teenagers who do not identify with the gender that was assigned them at their birth. It's a girl. It's a boy. But there's a struggle. There's something that doesn't fit for them. And when they finally have the courage to say, hey, I'm not Bunny, I'm Max, what happens to them? Is it easy? No. They don't know which bathroom they can use. There are laws that are being made to keep them from doing things because of their gender. And things are getting really tricky. I have been a teacher for 44 years, and up until the last 2 years, I never met someone who told me they were transgender. But now I know at least five. Three of them go to our church. And things are changing. Some kids are deciding they don't want to be a boy or a girl. They just want to be a human. And they don't want to wear butterflies, and they don't want to wear Spider-Man. They want to wear green, head to toe. Mud boots, hat, shirt, pants. They want to sit under the tree. They don't want to play with trucks. They don't want to play with dolls. I'm going to read you a little story called Call Me Max. And I'm not going to read all of the chapters in it, but it gives you a feeling of what it's like to go through this as a child. And the reason I'm bringing this up today, Lucky Lightworkers, is because if you know someone who is transgender, they need your love. They need your support. They don't need you to turn on them or laugh at them. I mean, what if Pastor Peter came next week with makeup and a dress and high heels? Would we quit coming to church? What bathroom would we let him use? It would be weird. We all know it would be weird. Call me Max. When I look in the mirror, I see a boy. I see a boy with spiky brown hair. I see a boy with white skin that tans in the summer. I see a boy with one mom, one dad, two goldfish. I see a boy who is also transgender. Transgender is a long word, but it means something simple. Trans means going across, like how transportation means going from here to there. Gender means a boy or a girl, or a little of both, or not feeling like a boy or a girl. When a baby is born, the grown-ups all say, "It's a boy," or "It's a girl." If a brand new baby could talk, sometimes it might say, "No, I'm not." When a baby grows up to be transgender, it means that the grown-up who said they were a boy or a girl didn't know. When I was born, my mom and dad said, "It's a girl." When I looked in the mirror, I saw a girl, kind of. But because I'm transgender, I wanted to see a boy. My parents thought it was cute when I put on my dad's ties. I liked to sleep in my Batman shirt. And when they bought me a dress for my first day of school, I lost it. I didn't tell them that I lost it at the bottom of the trash can. I wore my overalls instead. I thought school would be hard because I didn't know how to read yet. Thought it would be hard because I wouldn't get to play all day anymore. But school turned out to be hard for other reasons. On the first day of school, the teacher called out our names. Emery, here. Stella, here. When she got to my name, I raised my hand. She looked at me, and then she looked at the list of names, and then she looked back at me. I wondered if she thought my name didn't quite make sense for me. I felt that way, too. "Can you call me Max?" I asked. "Max is the boy from my favorite book." She nodded and wrote it down. I had to go to the bathroom after snack. At home, there's one bathroom for everyone to use. When I went to the store with my dad, I went to the bathroom with him. When I went to the movies, I went to the bathroom with my mom. But at school, I had to pick which bathroom to use. When I went in the girls' bathroom, a girl ran out. She thought I was a boy. I didn't mean to scare her, but I liked that she thought I was a boy. I used the boys' bathroom instead, but when I came out, the kids were giggling and pointing. I decided to hold it all day and tried not to drink too much water, no matter how thirsty I got. Now, the student that I know really well, this is what they experienced at their last school, and it was very traumatic. I'm going to skip the next chapter, but I'm going to skip to chapter 4. Oh, and by the way, this book is by Kyle Lukoff. One day, my friends Stephen and Teresa came over to play. My parents heard them call me Max. During dinner, they asked me why. I told them about school, how I couldn't go to the bathroom, how I didn't like my old name, how I felt like a boy. My mom and dad talked to my teacher, and we found a group for kids like me, boys and girls and kids who weren't boys or girls, all of us transgender. We talked about serious things like bathrooms and teasing. We also talked about fun things like video games and books and toys. I don't know what our parents talked about, probably the same things. That's all I'm going to read from Call Me Max, but I want to remind you that everything is changing. In Genesis, it says that God created us male and female and called us Adam. So it seems to me that in the beginning, maybe we were neither boy nor girl, but both. And maybe that's what's happening in our world, is we're moving back toward that. Who knows? I certainly don't. But we have to remain open in our hearts to everyone, no matter what they go through, and support them, love them, be kind. Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4. See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to all the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances, just as the entire law I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Hope you could hear that. That was so beautiful. Thank you. So, is your mic on? Let's sing it again. I want to hear that. Beautiful. The first person I met when I came on the campus of the Church of Conscious Harmony in 2007 was Mimi Conroy. And Mimi was working at the bookstore I believe. And anyway, I was waiting for an appointment with Tim, my first appointment with Tim. And she left an impression in me of such joy and life and love, and I felt so welcomed. And I suspect many of us who have been here have felt something similar. Many of us perhaps met Mimi for the first time in the bookstore, and her presence has blessed you as it has me. Mimi also was a work leader on Thursday night class, and many, many evenings she held the chair and led the class in such a way that blessed me deeply and spoke to me in a very unique way. Mimi's gifts have fed our community for years, and her unique charism has always spoken to me as a kind of presence, a movable presence that allows that energy of spirit and wisdom to flow through her with such honesty and precision sometimes in her words. She has deeply spoken to me, and many of my journals of my Thursday night classes have notes from Mimi's comments and perspective. And so in recent years, I've had the privilege of being having a few moments with Mimi as she's returned to our community. And like so many of us, we oftentimes have to go away to come back. And so I give thanks to God for bringing you back to us. Now, it's kind of a two-for-one because on those Thursday nights, I got to meet Mimi's son, whose name is Matthew Pickett. And over the years, Matthew and I became friends. And while we haven't spent a lot of time together, the time we have spent together, I have recognized in Matthew something similar of the charism of his mother and witnessed the relationship they had and how much they've gone through and how they use the work as their neutralizing force in their relationship. And Matthew's wife, Heather, is here, and she was a beautiful presence as well in their lives. And I'm so grateful to welcome my friend Matthew and my friend Mimi to be our teachers this morning. Come on down. Come on up.
Be vessels for your word to come into this community and bless us with your wisdom. Amen.
Amen. It's so moving to hear such words spoken. And as one that has been here from the beginning, and did have to leave, my welcoming back to this community has shown me nothing but the deep love that we've all cultivated together in our work. Imagination certainly can get the best of you when you're the one to leave. And so I am grateful and thankful to all of you for welcoming me back. I got a call from Sandra Ely a few months ago asking me to do a journey article for the Mark, an article for the Mark. And I thought, yeah, that'd be great, without even really knowing what it was going to be. And it was my birthday month, so I thought, oh, this is auspicious, isn't it? Well, it was about going down and descending. And for those of you that know me, you know I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. And descending? But I thought, yeah, I've done enough work, I can do that. And then Matthew and Peter went for a walk one day, and Peter asked Matthew if he and I would consider doing the Mother's Day service. Matthew called me and we talked about it, and I thought, you know, you're a really cool son. I think we'll be able to do this. Well, that was about the time the article and my exploration into Mother's Day collided. And so I come here having been fed richly by this moment. I represent all the daughters. All the daughters. Matthew represents the sons. I was raised mostly without a mother. Mother's Day for us was not a holiday that was celebrated. And then I went into the restaurant business. And for those of you that are going to try and get a table today, you know that I didn't have many Mother's Days off. And so as I began to explore this, I began to explore my own wound. And I had called myself a motherless daughter for so long. But in fact, I had a mother, and she died when I was 12. So I did grow up for 12 years with a mother. But having filled that spot of a motherless daughter and identifying deeply with that, I really marginalized my motherhood, Mother's Day, just about anything that had to do with honoring the mother. And I can truthfully say that it was when I found this church and found the work that I began the work of my healing and the many, many, many years that it would take to uncover the heart that sits with you today. It took a whole church. It took a whole church. And some of you, the ones that know me, you're going... I send this to Pamela as a blessing, that Pamela would come up to me just out of sheer angst and say, Mimi, do you ever calculate second force? I thought that was a novel idea. I thought, do you? And so Pamela goes with me every day of my life as I now, a good householder, calculate second force. Not always. But I'm willing to take the second force now. It's part of my arising. We cannot arise without that second force and the ultimate third force union. So, in looking for mothers my whole life, and I found many of them, some of you have been my mothers, Annie, thank you. I have found mothers all along the way. And then I began to find, with the liturgy and the study here at the church, my favorite mother. Mary. And I have lots of Mary around me. And almost all the Marys, this was actually an icon that was written by someone that went to this church. And all of the Marys I have are glancing downward to the right. Some of them you can see the baby that she's holding. Others are like this. And so as I'm, again, descending and arising in the same moment every day, I thought of this bent head and my merry heart. And how I got in touch with this was one Good Friday. It was maybe the first or second. I would say it was probably the second Good Friday that I can remember. It was over at the church on Steck Avenue. And Tim would read that mother, the crucifixion through the eyes of that nun. I can't remember the name anyway. And it was fairly graphic. And I remember just sitting there and feeling the truth about Mary at the base of the cross. And of course, I could easily put my dear son up in that cross. And I wept, and I sat here until the place was way empty. I'm sure Donald or someone stayed to let me out, but I stayed for a really long time. I could not move. And that is when I realized our mother's hearts are not like this. They're like this. Our earth mother, like this. That we don't lose our connection, our upright connection. We embody it down in. We have the children or we don't. But we embody this. We know what it would be like to sit at the base of a cross and watch our beloved son die. Boy, howdy, that brought Mother's Day home to me. So we all have mothers, all of us, whether we knew them or didn't. But I would like to enlarge this conversation to include Mother, that we all have, and Mother Earth, who holds us dearly in spite of the ugliness of our death. And I finally began to know my mother, and I'm 67 years old. And Matthew and I would talk in the morning, and I'd have one more thing about it, because a lot of the trauma in my life is also connected to her. And one day Matthew said, this was, I think, last week, Matthew said, and he's, what, 47?
Almost.
Almost. Yeah.
Close enough.
I'm not good with numbers, and I know y'all know that too. Anyway, so here we sit. And I know my son longer than my mother ever did. And I remember that when I first had Matthew, when I was 19 years old, I remember the first thing I thought of was, I'm not going to die. And I spent a lot of my life just thinking, I'm not going to die and leave him. Luckily, we had lots of good moments. But these are the things that I've moved through in the last 6 weeks. And so Matthew asked me last week, what would she have wanted me to call her? This is the first time we've wondered this. And the first thing I thought of was Debbie. My mother's name was Deborah, and everybody called her Debbie. And I knew in that moment that Matthew would have called her Debbie. And for a moment, the girl made peace with the memory and the feeling of love that my mother had for me always. A mother doesn't leave her children the way my mother left on purpose. She died of spinal meningitis, and that was, you know, that was a really a tough way to go. But Debbie is here with us today as your mother's mothers. I remembered back to my great-grandmother and the shoulders on which we stand. And what do we know from Maurice Nickel and the Jacob's Ladder is that we've got to move up the ladder. I can't stay still and not do my work. And this church, this amazing church that so many of us are part of, the seed in which those of us that have been here a long time worked for is blooming, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful what's happening in this church. And it's beautiful how far our work goes. And we work for the conscious circle of humanity. We work for God and our greater good. And the work tells us, I get plenty for myself. And it's part of the accumulator when a friend needs it. There's nothing that goes to waste here. And sometimes, like Peter said, you have to go away to find the true gift that this church is. And that it has held me like a mother, Tim and Barbara, who basically raised me. And, you know, the women that have embraced me, the men that have embraced me, I wanted to come back. The first time I came to the church, I was in pain. And I knew, my magnetic center knew I needed to be here, but I was in pain. Today I come back because I love all of you and what happens in this church very, very much. So, kind of a strange Mother's Day message from a strange mother. And I thought at first, wow, I get to talk about this guy. I get to talk about my favorite thing in the world, which is my son and his family. And so, as the matriarch, Heather, you get to take over later. And the mother, the grandmother, and hello, great-grandmother. I introduce you to my son, Matthew Pickett.
I am very grateful for our ongoing relationship and the deepening of our knowing of each other. And as hard as it is to watch you go through all the stuff you've been through, it has given me an opportunity to know you in a way that I never did. And so I'm just beyond grateful for these moments where you've been sick and the moments where you've been away from the church and kind of coming to a point of realization of who and what you are. And I'm grateful for the impressions that you've given my daughters, and you know, being a mom for another motherless daughter that is my wife. This is an opportunity for us to understand the love of the mother and how sometimes it takes descending into the depths of our existence. And what I have seen, and especially in the last 6 weeks, was the real feeling of the mother coming home and the real feeling of being held by that love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, he didn't leave me a lot to say. Yeah. You hit it pretty hard. But I'm also grateful for that, because this is definitely a different view of the church.
Well, it's You know, I, as growing up without a mother, I would look to other women and other people to kind of show me how to be a grown-up. But I didn't have a lot of how to be a mom. And I can remember reading, I'm a head person, so I read a lot of books about birthing and all of these things, but I was not prepared. I was not prepared when I got pregnant, or I guess I was, but I knew immediately to say yes. And this man has been raised by someone that in this church said he had to hang on with the tenacity of a spider monkey. Because I wouldn't even commit to a diaper bag. I thought a backpack will be fine. Don't want anybody noticing any untowards, you know. And so he, I would say, when I had Matthew and looked into his eyes, I knew that he was going to kind of raise me, if that makes any sense to you. And I was, what looked back at me so many times when he was in my arms was this old soul. And Matthew, you know, I owned restaurants and I worked a lot. And so Matthew one day came home on a Sunday after I probably closed the restaurant and said, I got baptized. And I thought, what? I don't remember signing anything or... What do you mean you got baptized? Well, you got baptized.
I did.
Why don't you tell them about that?
The first part was pretty easy. And started church in a Baptist church in Huntsville, Texas. It was a requirement staying the night with my friends that you had to go to church with them in the morning. It was an experience that I didn't have from my parents at all. And I felt something. I felt something very, very powerful, and the next step was to become baptized, which I actually did twice, almost a third time, because I didn't think it worked. So I can remember going home to mom and had a Bible in my hand. I'm still not sure where I got that Bible, but I can remember her, you know, she wasn't happy. She just couldn't believe it, and I don't think that there was didn't know anything about your history of religion or anything that you had done. It didn't feel like there was much of a presence there, but they had the big kind of tub up in the wall of the church, and he held me and put me under, and I went home because I just was so excited. I had a lot that I felt like was not congruent with the aims of the church. And so, you know, the baptism was a chance for me to clean all that up and start over again.
He was 10.
I was 10.
I needed to add that.
I didn't know much about anything at the time. But yes, that was a point of contention. There was no real anything from either one of my parents as far as permission. But I didn't ask for permission very often. And the beautiful thing is that feeling is still intact. That love and that presence, the magnitude with which I felt God in that moment is still here. Maybe even clearer than it was at that time. But didn't have a lot to do with you or Dad.
Well, that's, he did say that to me. He said, this is not about you. He was 10, did I tell you that already? And then went another time and came back and said, well, Mom, the Jesus and the water, you know, it absolutely meant something to him. So I was not the leader in this young man in that way. He led us. And because of that, he went to Glorieta with his friends every summer. And because of that, he's also had to work on a lot of letting go around the Baptist church, of which I, being from up north, Baptist was not something I was really familiar with. And so it wasn't out of something that I felt I didn't believe. I just didn't know what that meant, that my son had gotten baptized twice without me there. So, you know, it started early, and I am the probably most fortunate woman that I know that my son will call me on the way to work in the morning. So that's a lot of God right there, because I was, as Tim used to tell people, a hard dog to keep under the porch. That's how he introduced me to the Dalai Lama's brother. Yeah. So that's we've had a time, and I am honored to be able to sit here with you today and just witness. We came up here unprepared, which has frightened everyone that knows we're coming up here. And this is what I've done to him his whole life. And look at us, you know. And so thank you so much for allowing us to be here today and to testify and to see your faces and to show you this works. I may not be the poster child, but I'm close to it. When I came here, I was very lost. And I have been found. Amen.
Amen. Love you too.
So grateful to both of you for your sharing and your vulnerability and your wisdom. I could feel your presence, and I know it blessed all of us in different ways. So just so thankful for your yes. And I feel the teaching spirit in both of you. I feel your gifts, and I appreciate that very, very much. So thank you. And let us remember this truth together as we affirm together, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. We take these tithes, gifts, and offerings, whether we offer them online or mail a check into the church or drop it off today in the basket, to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen.
I will care for you like a mother eagle. as she tenderly cares for her young. I will feed and shelter you, and when the time comes, I will make you restless, I will stir you up, then I will bear you upon my wings. Together we take to the sky, and when you're ready and the wind is right, I will let you loose so that you can fly. And when danger comes, I will protect you. You're lost, I will hear your call. And when you go weary, I'll be there beneath you. And with my wings, I will catch your fall. Show you how to ride the wind and how to soar and how to glide. I will let you choose your own direction. I will never be far from your side. And when danger comes, I will protect you. And when you are lost, I will hear your call. And when you go weary, I'll be there beneath. With my wings, I will catch your fall. All of the knowledge that you need to fly, you have already inside. There is no limit to how high you climb. Under my watchful eye, and when danger comes, I will protect you. And when you are alone, with my wings, I will catch your fall. I will care for you like a mother eagle.
We will now rest for 10 minutes in centering prayer and consent to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
As we prepare for communion, I invite you to remove the lids from your plastic containers. And let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was handed over to death, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth and the life, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. And it is with joy that I look at our youth in the back who've been standing there for the first time in over a year. Welcome back, you awesome people. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I can see your love, see it all around. I can see your love. How sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace.
Thank you each for your presence here this morning. You've made it more special than I could have imagined. You can greet Matthew and Mimi out on the bridge after, and don't forget, there's beautiful coffee fellowship waiting with the open doors of the fellowship hall. And masks are no longer required outside on church campus. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us, weaving our hearts together as we do our work together in a community unlike nothing else. We give thanks to God. Amen.